Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And co-host tonight is the one and only Michael P. McCarthy.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Michael B. McCarthy?
I'm good. Though the traffic to Baltimore has returned. I'm sure when the traffic guy comes on, he'll tell you too.
Yeah, well, you know, I was up there this weekend, actually, and I noticed that the traffic had returned because it took us like an hour to get to the airport as opposed to typical 30, 35 minutes. So.
And you know how you can tell that everybody took a year or so off driving?
Yeah, how's that? They can't drive anymore.
They all need refresher
courses. Well, I noticed that during the pandemic. I saw some incredible, ridiculous feats out on the road and, you know, during the year of the pandemic. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Michael, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and give me the opportunity not to have to chit chat with Michael. I talk to him all too much and we typically beat on each other the whole time. And so if we have the opportunity,
friendly jiving,
you know, it's Italian and Irish going at it one in the other, you know. Anyway, if you want to give us the opportunity to answer your question, we would enjoy that. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680. Michael, we just moved our office, by the way. You did a fantastic job. You tired yourself out tremendously.
Yes.
Getting that accomplished, but it looks wonderful. You've done a great job. Still got a long way to go still.
Yep. If our landlord is listening, you've won a tenant for life because I'm never doing that again.
And he's a great landlord to boot. He's an excellent landlord, probably one of the best we've ever had. And we've only been there for a short period of time, but he's a great guy. And give him a shout out too, Mikey.
It's
Scott.
Yeah, but you're putting me on the spot and all of a sudden because it's the title company that you should give the shout out to.
Well, give the shout out to the title company.
I don't remember the name of the title company.
Well,
right,
give
now
the shout out to the owner of the title company, Scott.
Scott is a great landlord, and Drew, now I really hope Scott's not listening and doesn't realize I forgot his last name. All right, well, you've lost it. So
let me compose myself, Michael.
Let me remind everybody that it's an open show, so you
next
are
week,
our host.
Next week, we're going to do that, okay?
We're going to give him a shout out. Well, I'll probably look it up in a little while.
You'll look it up in a little while, and you'll do it, okay? Anyway, we're here on an open show, and we're having fun all without you anyway, so. Anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. But that building will be branded with our name on top of it, won't it?
Yes, I actually have to ask our friend Scott a favor because we just realized that the big metal lettering is going to be going on, is being shipped to the building, and I think it's going to come in some pretty big boxes that don't fit in our office.
What's new? You know, there's always a twist in everything, you
so
know?
So H.B. Law, Hoffmeister and Brezza, and it's Scott Brezza, and he's a great guy. We knew of him because clients of ours had been using his title company and really big fans of it. So Community Settlement Group and HB Law up there in Hutt Valley.
Scott Brezza. Well, so we give him a big shout out. Thank you, Scott, for all that you did to help us get in there. And it's right across from Point British Credit Union if you ever want to come visit. But tonight we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. Michael, there's an inflation scare keeps, you know, people, and especially journalists. Journalists like to write about this a lot.
It's a boogie monster that we can talk about and keep people on the, keep people listening.
Yes, you know, that's how the media makes their money, is that if somebody comes and watches their show, listens to their articles or their podcasts, reads their articles that they write, that's how they make money. And they do things to incite fear and greed into you. And when they do that and you keep feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, the world's coming to an end, inflation, and politicians do the same thing also. And I personally am not buying into the inflation story. They could tell me all they want. You could say, well, Drew, it's obvious. Look today, it was 0.9%. That's almost 12% a year. And the average annualized rate is 6.2 came in at this year, 32-year high. And I say, yeah, but look at the bond market. The bond market is still at 1.91%. So what's going on there? There's a disconnect. And I believe the bond market has always proven to be the reliable source. And you can listen to all these people and all these journalists, and they can tell you that Bitcoin and gold are inflation hedges. And I say, phony baloney. It's never been proven that Bitcoin or gold or inflation hedges.
You know what I think is an interesting thing that's not talked about, but is part of fact, is it is really interesting to know that 70% of this year's inflation was accounted for by three categories.
What are they?
Energy.
Housing.
Energy, which is primarily motor fuel, housing, and used vehicles.
And used vehicles, right.
70%. So,
and, you know, I mean, you know, there are some other things, but a lot of it has to do with the supply chain, which, you know, I got to admit that President Biden is not helping the situation by making vaccine mandates and so forth and so forth. But the supply chain, there are signs that the supply chain is loosening. And therefore, if it does really loosen up like they say it is, you could see these numbers coming down pretty dramatically, pretty quickly.
Yeah, but let's also give credit to the, you know, kind of those pure drivers. Housing, you had people locked in their homes for a year, which really drove the current largest generation to push from condensed city living out towards more suburban life and family starts. Motor fuel, which, production lines got shut down and then reduced volume and then a sharp dramatic increase in volume. And used vehicles, which have been being bolstered by the fact that new vehicles are harder and harder to get with the lack of microconductors or microchips.
Microchips.
From the shutdowns.
Yeah, and housing, since 2009, after the housing bubble, the housing starts were well below the historical necessary mean to keep the housing market under control. And they're just now starting to build more. But anyway, we got to take a first pause. But we're on an open show tonight. And hopefully you'll call in during this pause, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Michael P. McCarthy, and we're on an open show. An open show means you, the listener, get to be our guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation tonight. You get to call in and say, hey, Drew, Mike, if you guys answered this question for me, this would be really beneficial, and I could really garner some really helpful information from you. And so That's what we're here for, demonstrate what a professional financial advisor does. And if your financial advisor can't do what we do on this radio show, then you don't have a professional financial advisor, in my opinion. Michael would be much more political about that answer than I
would want to focus on the callers. And we've got one of our favorite callers waiting on the line, and I don't want to.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to give a phone number out, and then you can go to the 410. See, that's why I need you guys to call in. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Okay, Michael, all yours.
All right. And we've got one of our favorite callers on the line, Washington in Pasadena. And Washington, you want to talk about auto insurance?
Yes. Good evening, Drew and Michael. How are you guys?
Doing good. How are you?
Okay. Yes, I couldn't. You weren't taking calls last week when Todd Boyle was on, and it had to do with auto insurance. So here's the scenario. If somebody gets into an accident, they rear-end someone, and there's no damages to the other vehicle, that, at least that they're going to claim, I guess. And there's damage to one's own car. I guess once you get into that accident and the insurance company gets notified, chances are one's rate's going to go up, the person that rear-ends, regardless if they put in a claim or not. Is that correct?
Okay. Now, this is an interesting question. It's a great question, Washington, and I want to go through the whole dynamics of what can happen here, okay? So
yes.
First, okay, whether it's your fault or their fault is irrelevant, but, you know, the question is do you make the claim? And if you make the claim, do you run the risk that your rates are going to go up? So most companies, if it's only your first claim, they won't impact your rates at all. Okay. Most companies have a one-time claim forgiveness, but anything after that, now you're on the clock. If you have another claim, now your rates are going to go up. But here's the issue. Okay. So you rear end somebody, you look at their car, you get out, you look at their car, and they say, no damage, don't worry about it. You know, hey, call it a day. You know, you take care of your car, but I don't see anything on my car. I'm not going to worry about it, okay? And you go and you decide, I'm not going to make the claim. I'm going to fix my own car, all right? And then a week later, your insurance agent calls you up and says, we've got notified by so forth and so forth insurance company or lawyer that you rear-ended somebody a week or two ago, and they're claiming damages to their neck and so forth. They went to the hospital, they had this, they had that, and they're making a claim now against us. What's the story? You didn't report any accidents. And you say, no, I didn't report it because there was no damage, and they said they were okay. Well, now you're in trouble because your policy has a clause in it that says you must report an accident within a timely manner. And if you don't, they actually have the ability to say, well, we're not going to make claim. We're not going to provide liability coverage to you because you violated the terms of your contract. So there's where the rub comes in. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. So you really have to be a good judge of character as to whether that person says to you, don't worry, I'm okay, you know, that you're confident that they are not going to make a claim against you.
Okay. Now, let's say under the circumstances, the insurance information is exchanged, and also if I'm the one that, let's say, rear-ended somebody, and I go ahead and notify the insurance company just to let them know, yeah, this is what happened. And then I get my car looked at, and there's a certain amount.
They'll still hold if you notify your insurance agent, and your insurance agent says, yep, I've got to turn this in. Even if you don't make claim, even if you pay for it all yourself, they'll still treat it as a claim that was made.
Oh, even if nobody makes a claim.
Well, I'm saying if you report the accident, they'll still report it as an accident.
Right.
And that will be your one-time forgiveness possibility, you know, and so forth.
Okay, regardless of whether they have to make any payout suit, either for myself because my automobile got damaged or the other drivers.
Yeah, you know, the only time I don't report a claim is when there's nobody else involved. Like, for example, I remember one time I backed out and there was a car behind me and I couldn't see it for some reason. And boom, I hit it and it caused $800 in damage.
I think I was so with you when you hit a deer.
Were you with me when I hit a deer?
I was with you when they hit the deer, yeah.
Oh, that was in Rock Hall.
Yeah,
when we were going fishing, and I actually made that claim. We had that. That was the company car that we paid that claim. But I had one on my
Chris
personal car.
Chris says the deer hit you.
That's true. It did. I actually didn't even see it. Anyway, it's a long story. So if a deer hits you, you know, and you want to pay for it yourself, that's your decision. But if there's another human being involved, I better be absolutely confident in my decision not to make that claim or not to report that accident immediately. Because see, what happens is when you report that claim immediately or that accident immediately, the insurance company immediately has the ability to investigate and determine whether they truly are liable for the claim. When you wait 2, 3, 4 weeks and all of a sudden the claimant makes the claim, and they turn to your company and say, hey, you know, you owe us money because this guy hurt us. You know, now the insurance company is left on the hook, and that's what your policy says. You have to notify them quickly, and there's a time limit normally in there. All right?
Okay. About that. But I take it that in this particular case, even if, let's say, the adjuster comes out, takes a look at my car and says, okay, it's going to cost $1,000 to get this fixed. Even if I don't, if I say okay, I'll take care of it myself. I take it just
it still counts as an accident against you.
Yeah,
there's some nuance to this, Washington. When you call your local agent and you tell the local agent, "Hey, this happened, but I don't think anyone's making a claim." There's some nuance to that.
Yep, but what he's saying is, if he doesn't actually have Erie or whoever pay out any money, does it still count against him? And the answer is yes. Once you make that notice. All right, my friend, good question. Excellent.
All right.
Excellent question.
Very good. Thanks, Washington. Well, we don't have much time, but let's get started with Jim in Catonsville. Jim, you had a question about bonds?
Yes. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Series I bonds, I heard something that said you could invest $10,000 at 7.12%.
That is correct.
What's the gimmick?
There is no gimmick. Okay, so here's the deal, and this is a unique situation. So the federal government has what's called Series I bonds. Okay, Series I bonds pay based on the rate of inflation. Okay, and the rate of inflation right now is about 6%, and they also pay a fixed interest rate. And when you add it all up, it comes out to 7.1%. And there is no gimmick. It's strictly $10,000 that you can do per year. That's it, $10,000 per year. Now, also, a husband and wife, two people, you could do $20,000 a year if you wanted to. And the interest is tax-deferred. And what they do is they pay you a fixed interest rate, plus they adjust the principal of the bond by the rate of inflation, and that's why the bond yields 7.1%. And it's tax-deferred to boot. So anybody who has
buying the bond at discount?
I mean, what you're buying the bonds, when you give them $10,000, they normally, I believe, are worth, I can't remember exactly, but anyway, the I bonds. You know, trust me, it's an excellent deal. We tell our clients all the time, if you want to do something with some money, I bonds are a great option right now. Absolutely perfect. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No tricks, no gimmicks. But the limit, it's limited to just $10,000 per person per year. All right?
And then next year, the rate would change?
It's going to change based on what the rate of inflation is for 2022. And remember, the inflation rate for the federal government runs a different than calendar year. I think it's a September to September.
Okay, yeah. I was sort of floored by the first off the rate, and then I didn't understand why you were only limited to 10,000.
Well, that's just the government's rule. But right now, I got to take a pause. If you want to hold on, I'll come back and talk to you more about this. So right now, I got to go to traffic, and I'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There's like Chris go ahead, Drew.
Chris is playing Christmas music already.
I don't think that's Christmas music. This is like something out of a weird 70s hotel. Remind me.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he understands music very well, personally. I keep trying to teach him, but he's not learning very well.
There's this hotel, you know, resort in Easton, in Tillman Island, Lost in Time from like 1972, and that's exactly, all covered in mirrors, and that's exactly the music they play.
Anyway, but we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And who do we have on the line, Mike?
We are very happy to have Rick from Arnold, who wants to talk about taxes and investment property. We're good. How are you?
Good, thank you, thank you. I have a question I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to hang up so I can listen on radio more better.
Okay.
I live in Maryland. I'm in the middle of buying a commercial investment property in Virginia. My question is about taxes. Would I be filing taxes when I have property there and I live here and I also have business here from the both states? Would that have, how that works out?
So you get to file in Virginia. You get to pay Virginia for the income produced on that property in Virginia. And so if you have income in Virginia, then you'll pay Virginia income taxes. If you have a loss, you'll just accumulate losses in Virginia. But then you also have to report it back to Maryland. And if you have income that you pay taxes on in Virginia, then you'll get a credit back to Maryland for the taxes that you paid for Virginia. And if it's the same as what you're going to pay Maryland, then it's no harm, no foul. If you paid Virginia less, then you're going to owe Maryland more. If you paid Virginia more, then you're going to not have any extra back from Maryland. You're going to get back what you paid Virginia, but then Virginia is going to still have a little extra they took. Did I make that clear, or did I make it more confusing?
No, a little bit, but I understood a little bit. And so I still have to, that's my question, so I still got to file taxes on both states.
Right. But yes, sir.
Should be filing tax in Virginia first. Would that be the way to do it?
Well, it doesn't really matter. You have to do the Virginia return to know what your credit is going to be for Maryland if you have income on your Virginia property.
Right.
So
that would be the right way to do it. We'll file in Virginia first, then come back into Maryland, then file it here.
Well, you could do them both at the same time. You could prepare your Virginia return and say, okay, this is what I think I'm going to owe Virginia. And then you file Virginia and Maryland all at the exact same moment, okay? You don't have to file Virginia and then wait a week or two and file Maryland. It is irrelevant. You just tell Maryland what you paid Virginia, and you could do it all at the same time.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All right.
Now I understand. Thanks for your help.
All right, buddy. Good question. Bye-bye. Very good question. Bye-bye. That's it's complicated. And we do, I don't know how many states we do now, Mike, for ourselves. But it's getting ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's what government does. They make things ridiculous so that you and I have a job.
I don't even want to start talking about the New York returns we prepared this past year.
New York. Go ahead.
All
Who's
right.
next?
So just a reminder, there's still room on the show. So 410-922-6680. But with that, let's take it away to Ralph in Westminster. Ralph, you had a question on Medicare.
Yes. In an effort to itemize on my federal return, so I can itemize on my state return to save money. So I'm looking for everything I can itemize. How about the monthly premium that most people pay, $148 to Medicare? Is that tax deductible under the medical expenses?
Sure, absolutely. You don't happen to be self-employed, do you?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, absolutely. So if you pay Medicare Part B and you're paying $148 a month, let's say, and you're doing it for yourself and your spouse, yeah, that's a deduction. And if you have Medicare Part D, You know, and you're paying 20 a month for each of you, that's a deduction. And if you have a Medigap policy, that's a deduction. You know, yeah, the whole list. But keep in mind that you don't have to exceed the standard deduction. You can also force itemization federal so that you can itemize state. And we see this. Right. Matter of fact, I had a client just today, okay? His itemized deductions were coming up to about $24,000, but his standard deduction was $25,000, and he filed the standard deduction. And I said, look, if we force itemization here and you pay the federal government $200 more, Maryland's going to give you $1,600 back. And he caught it immediately. So we're going to be amending his return, forcing itemization to federal, and then getting a lot more money back.
Right,
Maryland.
I forced it 2 years ago and saved $1,500. But then last year I was lucky; it was about the same, so I was able to, you know, get my federal return and state return.
Good
so
on
I'm
you.
Looking, but I didn't count Medicare or Medicare premium.
You can amend it. You can go back and say, wait a minute, I forgot Medicare. Here you go. Here's the expenses. Yeah. Now I'm going to force itemization again. Maryland, you owe me a bunch of money back.
Right, right.
And, you know, this is so irritating. And I hope our Maryland politicians are listening, that it's just ridiculous that Marylanders have to deal with this. Virginia raised their standard deduction dramatically. A lot of other states passed laws that said when Trump moved the standard deduction up to 25,000 or whatever, many states came back and said, okay, you can just itemize with us. Don't worry about it. You know, or they moved their standard deduction up. Maryland moved their standard deduction up by about $600 or something ridiculous like that. It was insulting to the Maryland taxpayers. Just insulting. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Yeah, my wife and I are both over 65, so I think it's 27.5 now or something really high.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really high, and so you're getting the shaft from Maryland big time because they only moved their standard deduction up to $4,500, and I think it's $50 or something like that. That's just insulting. It's insulting. Anyway, Mike wants to hang up so I don't get rambling too much.
Well, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. We got an open show, Mike, 410-922-6680. Call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. Anybody else online, Mikey?
Absolutely. I'm going to go right to Neil in Lutherville, who's got an RMD question.
Neil. Go ahead.
At 70, if I'm 71 and working, and I have my own personal 401s, I think you were saying one time that it was probably better to transfer my money over to my company 401 and my, because when do you have to start making required, if you're working, minimum required distribution?
Okay, here's the thing for you, okay? This is important. You don't need this money, right? Right away.
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. You only have until December 31st to do this, okay? So you got to start acting quickly, very quickly. You want all 401ks that are not with the company you currently work with rolled over to the company you currently work with. And you want all IRAs that you have out there rolled to the company that you currently work with. Okay? And if you do that and you get it all accomplished before December 31st, 2021, you will not have any required minimum distributions for 2022, the year you turn 72. But if you have a balance of any 401k that you're not working with or IRA, then you will have a required minimum distribution if that balance is there on December 31st, 2021.
Okay.
So you got only about a month and a half left to go. Get it done if you've got them out there, my friend, right?
Thank you.
All right, get it done.
Thank you.
You know, no reason to pay these people any more money than we legally have to. And that's what you know, great financial advisor should be doing for you is helping you make sure, like Neil there, and getting that money out of his IRAs and 401. Mikey, we've done that too many times and hurt ourselves in, you know, in the company revenue. And
when
rolled,
you do the right thing, you don't hurt yourself for too long.
Yeah, I know. And you got to do the right thing so you can go home at night and sleep, you know. But we take clients' money at IRAs at 71, and we roll it to their company plan if they're continuing to work. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, and we'll be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I can just see Chris now in his silk shirt dancing around this studio.
He's got a little dance going on there. He's jamming.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, let's go, Mikey. We got to roll.
All right, we're going to rip through these calls. So Mark in Catonsville, you had a question on Medicare for us.
Yes, I'm retiring soon, and I'm going to start drawing from my non-qualified funds because they're long-term capital gains. And
okay.
I'm wondering if I should draw down my wife's salary all at once in 2021, because if I did, it would make it much larger in 2022, and then Medicare would charge me more because I'd be turning 65 the next year.
Okay,
go ahead.
So, you know, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by draw down your wife's salary.
Well, I mean, I just have to, she's not working. So we have the investments to cover her expenses for a year. And I'm wondering, should I do it in 21 and not do it in 22? Because I have to draw down a considerable amount for other things.
So let me ask you, how old are you and your spouse?
63 and 60.
So you're 63 and 60, so you guys need medical insurance still, right?
Correct. We have okay. that.
And you're going to continue to work for a couple of years?
No, I'm retiring.
And she's already retired.
Well, she will be as of like December 15th.
So what are you going to do for medical insurance in 2022?
Well, I privately buy it.
So, you know, if you control your taxable income down below about $65,000, you can get the Maryland Health Exchange to pay the premium for you in a big way. You know, you and your spouse would only pay about $400 a month instead of $1,500 or $1,600 a month.
Well, we pay $500 now, but we have a $10,000 deductible.
You pay $500 for the two of you with a $10,000 deductible?
For three of us.
For three of you? And you're only paying $500 a month?
Correct.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, should I name the name of the company?
Sure.
Christian Care.
Mm. Yeah, I get concerned about that kind of stuff. I mean, I understand you like it and you feel that it works and so forth, but I'm concerned about those things. They aren't real insurance policies. They may work, but
they did. They did. My wife broke her arm, and they, you know, once I met my deductible, of course, you know, they paid the rest. But it worked out all right in that circumstance.
But keep in mind, that is not insurance, and so you always run the risk that one day you have a claim and it comes in at $200,000. It is a very strong possibility. You know, matter of fact, I just read a couple articles about this just over the weekend when I was flying back to Baltimore. I mean, to Baltimore, right. So, but anyway, my point is that you could get real medical insurance if you can control your adjustable gross income down to about $65,000. You could get a real policy with a $2,500 deductible, HSA qualified, and no risk of ever putting out more than $6,000, period.
That per individual or per couple?
That's total for the whole family, the three of you. Matter of fact, because you have three of you, you could do, I think you could go up to about $80,000, Mike.
Yeah, probably.
If I go up to $80,000.
There's a
great calculator out there. Let me tell you this calculator. You ready? It's Google search Kaiser ACA calculator. Google search Kaiser, K-A-I-S-E-R, A-C-A calculator. Fill the information in, and it'll tell you how much they'll pay you if you control your AGI to be below that number. I got to roll, my friend. I wish I could help you more, but if you want to call and ask a question at our office, we'd be more than help you more, all right?
All right, thank you so much.
Take care. Go ahead, Mikey.
All right, let's go right to Tim in Ellicott City. You got a question on IRAs?
Yeah, actually, I misspoke. It was 401k, so...
Sure,
those two.
Maxed out my 401k for this year, and I've also contributed about $40,000 to non-deductible 401k. And I was wondering if I might be better off using that money to convert non-Roth 401ks or IRAs into Roth.
So you have to, hear me, you have to get your non-deductible 401ks out of that plan and rolled over to Roth IRAs before 12/31.
Right, and they're automatically being rolled over as I make the contributions.
Good, that's fantastic. And I would stop the non-deductible contributions beginning January 1, 2022 until we get clarity as to what the current administration is going to do on that, because they're trying to stop that. They're threatening to stop it, and you don't want to be contributing to non-deductibles for 2022 until you get clarity on that issue, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. So
now, do you live in Maryland?
I live in Maryland.
Do you intend to move in the future?
Not in the near future, no.
No, but I mean, do you intend to move when you retire?
Possibly.
And where would you go?
Possibly Tennessee.
Oh, if you go to, you know, then I would not do any major Roth conversions at this moment in time until I get clarity on whether I'm going to move. And Tennessee would be an absolute perfect state to move it to in retirement. And then you would do all your Roth conversions. I'm just starting my Roth conversions. I'm doing major Roth conversions now down in Florida. So, all right.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care. Good question, though.
Very good question. All right, we're going to keep going, and we're going to go to Jamie in Catonsville. You got some tax questions about Maryland and West Virginia.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So my friend, is she wants to sell her house. She lives in Maryland.
Okay.
And she wants to move to West Virginia.
Okay.
What should she do in the tax, and what would be the tax implications of that? She's had
basically
20 years.
Yeah. So basically what happens is she's a part-time resident to the day she moves out of Maryland, and she's a part-time resident in the day that she moves to West Virginia. So let's say she moved on December 1st. Then she would be a part-time resident of Maryland up to December 1st, so 11 months, and then she'd be a resident of West Virginia beginning December 1st. 2021 for the rest of the year and for all of next year. And there's really not much else that I can think of that she would have to really worry about.
Oh, does she West pay Virginia's extra taxes not a bad. She moves.
No. What kind of extra tax should she pay?
I don't know. Someone mentioned.
You're talking about that stupid concept that the real estate agents don't seem to understand. So here's the deal, okay? Maryland has a withholding tax. If you're not a Maryland resident and you sell a piece of real estate in Maryland, you got to withhold like 7% of the sale. So if I sell a $500,000 house, I got to withhold 7% or $35,000 because they want me to report it as to whether I owe taxes on it or not. Okay, that's the rule. But here's the issue. If you have an exemption, and hear this, real estate agents, if your client has an exemption, they don't have to do the withholding, but you have to file with the state of Maryland 20-some days before settlement. And so if your girlfriend files with Maryland that this is my personal residence and I'm not going to owe any taxes on it, Maryland will say, okay, don't worry about it. When you sell your house, we won't withhold any taxes on it, and you're moving to West Virginia. Have a great life in West Virginia.
Perfect.
So just remember, there's an exemption, and make sure, and selling your personal residence is one of the primary exemptions that Maryland always will recognize.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Now,
I should add a caveat that your house has to sell for less than, you have to have less than a $500,000, $250,000 gain on the house sale. So I just have to add that as a caveat. But I don't think she probably has more than a $250,000 gain on the sale of the house, right?
That's right. Correct.
So then she's good as gold. Follow the exemption 20 some days before settlement. All right. I got to run. Mikey, I'm sorry. I didn't get to that last caller.
No worries. We'll hopefully get him next time. So call in next time.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna be much better.